This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 751. I am Lisa Sheps, and I am joined by my special guest co-host, Trey Schonkweiler.
Hello, hello, hello.
And host of Writing on the Air, Mindy Reed.
Hello.
You are listening to all of us at KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. This puppy streams live at KOOP.org. You better stay right where you are.
Step right up, the show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
For next to Christmas, for next to Christmas.
It is Wednesday, December 20th, 2023. It's Christmas time, folks. On the show today, we have the Vortex and Circus Chicken Dog, and their show, the Nutcracker.
Sweet!
Nutcracker, Nutcracker.
Mutt.
And, of course, we have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, Chicago, New York, St. Louis, and Nacogdoches. Stick around. People get no Christmas gift at all. Hi, Trey.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to your very first co-hosting.
Woo!
I'm not. You were here as a guest 2 weeks ago.
Yes. Was it only 2 weeks ago?
It was only 2 weeks ago.
It feels so much longer.
It does. For Jack and Aiden, which was a wonderfully successful show in which you were the musical director.
Yes.
You did an amazing job.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We're just going to sit here and talk about how great you are.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, welcome to co-host. I tell people just like the minimalist 5-second tour of who you are.
I'm Trey. I've been in Austin for like a year and a half, and I music direct things. I'm a voice teacher, choir director, anything music is what I do.
From where did you come?
I'm originally from Gatesville, Texas.
Okay, that's the gateway of Texas, because it's got gate in the title.
Sure.
And Mindy Reed, you're back for your third time. Welcome back.
I'm back for my third time observing, and thank you so much for having me.
What words of wisdom have you for us?
Well, besides listening to this show and the show afterwards, stay tuned for a special performance on Writing on the Air at 3 o'clock. We're going to have a live reading of Dylan Thomas's A Child's Christmas in Wales.
Wow. So that then tells you that Mindy is the host of Writing on the Air here on Co-op at 3 o'clock. So that's actually great. Dylan Thomas reading it themselves. No, you need to speak into the microphone.
Ghosts of Christmas Past. Actually, the group is called the Past Poet Society.
Lovely. Well, let's introduce the folks that are sitting here with us. Melissa McKnight, you may as well be an honorary co-host.
Oh, you know, and I've never co-hosted.
Oh,
so,
well, we must change that.
Yes.
We must change that.
It makes me break out in cold sweats just thinking about it.
We would have so
Maybe
much fun.
Maybe it's excitement sweats.
We would have so much fun. Darren Peterson, welcome back.
Hello.
I want to say this is your 12th time here, but I don't know that that's true.
13, 14.
Could be.
Who's counting?
Who knows? And newcomer to Offstage and On the Air, Nicole Boyd. Hi, Nicole.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
We're happy to have you here. So here's what we're just going to talk about some theater junk to begin with and then see how we feel from there. We did have an opening on The Great White Way.
What opened?
I'm so happy that I'm the only person that knows.
I'm terrible.
Yeah, me too.
It is the, oh my God, I forgot, I can't remember the name of the playwright, Brandon Clay, it's one of these three word names, Brandon Jacob Jinkham's play, Appropriate, starring one Sarah Paulson, amongst others.
Oh, I'm terrible at plays.
Elle Fanning, one of the Fanning
yes,
girls.
Yes, yes, Elle Fanning.
Yeah. The Did They Like It Theater Aggregator. Had 11 reviewers, and out of all of them, there were 0 negative reviews, 0 mixed reviews, and 11 positive reviews.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. But it sounds really depressing. it really does. Here it is. It's summer, and the cicadas are singing, and the Lafayette family has returned to their late patriarch's Arkansas home to deal with the remains of his estate. Tony, the eldest daughter, hopes he'll spend the weekend remembering and reconnecting over their beloved father, Bo, her brother, wants to recoup some of the funds he spent caring for Dad at the end of his life, but things take a turn when their estranged brother Franz appears late one night and mysterious objects are discovered among the clutter. Suddenly, long hidden secrets are buried, resentments can't be contained, and the family is forced to face the ghosts of their past. Could it be anti-Semitism and racism? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
and this is Sarah Paulson plays the lead role. This is directed by Lila Neugenbauer. God,
okay.
I can't pronounce anybody's names. But let me just read. So what's his name? Totally lost his name. Jesse Green, New York Times, made it a critic's pick. And he said, quote, "Think of the worst person you know."
Oh, wow.
"The kind who blabs people's secrets, mocks their diction, dismisses their pain while making festivals of her own. Throws in a tendency towards casual anti-Semitic slurs for which she thinks she has a free pass, and a what's the big deal approach to racism." Mm-hmm. "Now add a deep wound and a wicked tongue and you're almost partway to Antoinette Lafayette, the monster played by Sarah Paulson in the blistering revival of Appropriate that opened on Broadway on Monday." Some of the other critics, and when you hear generally, is like there's no redeeming values. You hate all these characters, which I think is never a good thing.
Yeah.
I think you have to find redemption even in the most evil character. There's got to be, you either got to figure out where they're coming from and why they're acting the way they're acting and go, oh, that poor, they had a terrible childhood or something, but evidently not so much with this.
Interesting.
He says that Paulson has an eye-opening and sinus-clearing performance. And so this was a production for Second Stage in New York. As I said, it was written by Brandon Jacob Jenkins. I cannot speak today. I tell you, they're liking it a lot to like Tennessee Williams, these family dramas, and it seems really, really, really heavy. Not my thing.
Right. A heartwarming tale for the holiday season.
I am in favor of that.
You did just do Jack and Aiden.
Yes. I mean, I'm a big fan of holiday season, anti-holiday shows. So that's good. So let me just read this. I have some things that I highlighted. I don't know why until I reread them. Suffice it to say that when this is a quote from Jesse Green's review. "Suffice it to say that when horrible relics of the past, both the countries and the families, are discovered in the clutter, they force the Lafayettes to re-examine the legacy of their father, supposedly once in line to be a Supreme Court justice, but also, depending on whom you ask, a saint or a psychopath."
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah. So Dad was... And then this is another quote from the review. "Questioning whether racism and anti-Semitism are really the core sins of this particular family, Appropriate posits that the problem may instead be that they're personally hideous. And if that's true, could it also be true that the various institutions of subjugation so rampant throughout human society are nothing more or less than convenient formats for expression of hate hardened, wired in your hearts?" Yikes.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to read this review and the little things that I've read. It doesn't sound like it would be a positive, but he gave it a critic's pick and he really liked it, which is interesting. When he reviewed it, when it was off Broadway, he hated it.
Huh.
Jesse Green has never been one of my favorite critics. I don't know how other people feel. But he did, he did a lot of self, I'm giving him credit for like looking at himself, like why did he not like it before and now likes it? And he didn't chalk it up to the fact that there's been a lot of rewrites and it got tighter for Broadway and there's more money behind it. He basically said that he had 10 years to grow as a person. Kudos to him. I don't normally give him kudos. Other critics, Brittany Samuel of Broadway News said, "If special attention must be paid, it's to Sarah Paulson as the raw, menacing, and darkly hilarious Tony. The power in Paulson's performance feels ancient. She is Medea protecting what, ultimately, is a tender heart with a vicious mouth and an iron fist."
I'd love to see her live.
Love Sarah Paulson.
Yes.
Yes. Deadline, Greg Evans said, a wicked cacophony of nerve-wrenching mystery, old resentments, and laugh-out-loud comedy. The latter all the more remarkable coming as it does within a story about the darkest horrors of America's legacies. Yeah, so everybody liked it. It's not something I'm going to go see.
Yeah. No.
Same. Yeah. But for other reasons, I'm not going to New York soon.
Well, that's true. I'm, you know, being downwardly mobile, my travel days are over. Oh. Speaking of really uplifting shows, the Color Purple movie came out.
I am so excited. I need to go
see it. I'm excited. How do people... So it's interesting. This review is a very interesting, talking about its path to getting here, mm-hmm. because it started as a novel, then it was a movie, then it was a musical, then it was a shorter musical, and now it's a movie again.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And the novel was 1982. I didn't realize it was that long ago. Mm-hmm. And the she that I'm talking about is Alice Walker, who wrote the book. She's the first black woman to win a Pulitzer for fiction.
I did not know that.
In, I guess, 1982. Well, that's, you know, unfortunate that it's 1982.
Yeah.
But good for her. Then they had the 2005 original Broadway production, mm-hmm. Which was based on both the novel and the film. Oh, so I forgot. So the film was, it doesn't say what, 1985 was the big screen. And that was, it starred Whoopi Goldberg, Oprah Winfrey, Danny Glover, directed by Steven Spielberg. Quincy Jones did the score. And then the Broadway production in 2005 was based both on the novel and the film. Got a lot of nominations, one of which was LaChance. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't until the 2015 revival, which I have not seen. I've only seen the original. Evidently, the revival, they stripped it way down. I think they cut like 30 or 45 minutes out of it.
Oh, I don't. Wow. I haven't seen it. I've just listened to it.
And it's supposed to be better. I don't know. You've never seen it?
I haven't seen it. I've just listened to it. I love the score and the people in that version.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. But that did get... And then it won two Tonys.
Yeah.
So... Now we have this film directed by, boy, I don't even want to start with this name, Blitz Bazawul.
Wow.
Anybody?
Nope.
Yeah. Anyway. Nope. But it got a good review. It stars Danielle Brooks, Coleman Domingo, mm-hmm. Corey Hart, Corey Hawkins, her, the singer,
mm-hmm.
H period, E period, R period, as well as Taraji P. Henson, who's playing Shug Avery. And they pay special attention to, and I don't remember this in the movie, the original movie, or the play, a sexual affair or an intimate affair between Shug Avery and Seeley.
I think that's more in the newest version, mm-hmm. too.
And in the new version, it's...
And in the movie, they did share a kiss at one point in time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, in the first movie?
In the first movie.
Okay, so maybe I was wrong. I just didn't remember. I didn't remember that. So that's interesting.
Isn't an original person from the 2005 version in this movie?
I think Taraji P. Henson.
Fantasia, right?
Fantasia.
I don't know who Fantasia is.
She was the original. Do you remember who she was?
No, you need to go.
It's a quiz.
Okay, you need to speak right into the microphone if you're going to talk.
Second or third season, American Idol winner.
Oh, that's right. You're right, mm-hmm. and it's in here too. I just decided to ignore it because I didn't know who it was.
And
I'm ignorant when it comes to current music and all that stuff. I'm just bad. But I found this interesting. This review was written by the way, Alyssa Wilkinson for the New York Times. And she said, I found myself wishing, as I often do with contemporary movie musicals, that the editing would slow down and let me actually watch the dancers, which is so true.
Yeah.
Because, the editing, we're used to, not hanging on any clip for longer than like 2 or 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you can never, I would just love to, I forgot what movie musical that happened relatively recently, and I said, I just wish there was a long shot that I could just watch the dancers. I know I felt that way with the Hamilton pro shot.
Yeah.
Because that choreography is so amazing.
That one would be good to slow down, but a lot of movie musicals aren't made to be choreographed at a still shot, so it would be interesting to see what the changes they would have to do.
No, I have to say, I worked with, I'll just drop a name, Wayne Cilento back in the day. He was doing a lot of... This was in the 80s when we did a lot of videos. What are they called? When you do videos or songs?
Music videos?
Music videos.
I was trying to see where you were going with this. I was like,
never grow old. Anyway, I was just amazed at how the choreography is, so I'm used to theater where you choreograph for a full picture, but they don't. They choreograph for where the camera is going to be. And it's just very, very interesting.
West Side Story, the newest movie, was really choreography and the filming of it. Loved it.
Yep, me too. Well, let's just go right to this. I was going to talk about this next, but there is an article in, what was it in? The Hollywood Reporter, about movie musicals and how what this came about was looking at the current Mean Girls trailer as well as the Color Purple trailer. You would not know it's a musical. They don't
and
have
Willy Wonka.
In it. And Willy Wonka. Yeah. And if you remember, Les Mis, as well as another musical, didn't have any music in the trailer. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about how it just doesn't sell. And there's a big article around it. Actually, Willy Wonka is in the picture.
We love Timothée Chalamet.
See, I mean, I have to disagree. I got the strong impression that they had song and
to me,
dance.
The Color Purple did.
Right?
But the other two haven't.
And I guess I was a little confused watching the kind of... Because I'm not online much. I'm just too busy and I don't watch regular television or anything. Yep. So I miss a lot of advertisements. But the small ones that I'd seen, I wasn't really aware of the stage version of The Color Purple. So I was a little confused why there was song and dance. I was like, did they just add this for this version? I'm curious.
But for sure, I didn't realize Willy Wonka was going to be a musical until it came out and people started talking about it being a musical.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw all those big wide shots of the square with all the people kind of milling about, but in a kind of movement-directed way. And I was like, oh, there's song and dance.
Well, they also are the major studios are very afraid of musicals because of the bad rap that they get or the bad feeling people have about, oh, there's just going to be people it's going to be singing through the whole thing and blah, 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 blah. Les Mis, by the way, is practically sung. It is sung all the way through.
Yeah. That one is hard to go see if you don't know it's a musical.
Right. You're like, what did I sign up for?
I was actually one of the few people that enjoyed the movie with the exception of what's-his-name's performance.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot what it was. Yes. Russell Crowe, thank you.
So it's interesting, a lot of opera companies now, they're doing Sweeney Todd as an opera.
Yes, it is. True.
A Broadway play.
That's true. Mm. And Sweeney Todd, the Broadway musical, is practically entirely sold.
Pretty much.
Yes, it is.
So that's interesting. I thought that was an interesting thing. Who likes Stranger Things?
I've watched the first season and got bored.
Oh, really?
I got up to the second season. Oh, same thing.
I've watched them all.
Yeah, I watched the first season and said, oh, it's okay. And then I got halfway through the second season. Well, we are evidently in the... I mean, this room is not representative of everybody else because most everybody
loves
it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in this room... Not so much, other than Melissa.
I watched every season at least once.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I watched the previous season just one time through, and that was enough.
You may want to call American Airlines, see if you can get yourself a flight to London, and go watch Stranger Things, the first Shadow, in the theater at the Phoenix Theater in London, which is playing through August 25th.
Mm. Is it a musical or is
it
a play?
Do I love it?
It is
that
a play.
Okay.
play.
Okay.
It is directed by Stephen Daldry, who directed Billy Elliot, the musical, and written by Kate Cheffrey and Jack Thorne, along with the show's creator, the Duffer Brothers. And they call it Cheap Thrills, Expensively Made. It is a prequel to Stranger Things. It takes place in the 1980s. It's pretty. I'm showing everybody a picture. It's pretty. Not my thing. Let's see. Here's what I notated to read, and I can't remember why, but here it is. In its totality, the production is lavish to the point of embarrassment, and the sheer scale of the thing is hard to reconcile with the play's rather modest intellectual aspirations.
Wow.
And lack of originality.
Ooh, tell me how you really feel.
One is simultaneously impressed and a little bewildered. Haven't television and cinema already got these bases covered? Is this what theater is for? I should say this was written for the New York Times by Halman Barakat. Wow. I love that name. So that's that. Something to see. Let's check the time. We can go for a little while longer. So let's talk about this. I think is something that will be true to many of us here in this room. I should say, though, that the opinions expressed here at Offstage and on the Air are not necessarily those the views of Co-op Radio, the board of directors, its staff, volunteers, or underwriters. It's just my silly opinion. But there is an article that came out this week in American Theater Magazine, and it is entitled, if I can find it... I can't find it. Anyway, it is entitled, it's The Death of Theater Criticism. And it's talking about, one of the things that just happened was the theater critic, the main critic from the New York Post has announced his retirement. Mm-hmm. And, this is why I couldn't find it, because I spelled it criticisms. Peter Marks is leaving the Washington Post, and they are not replacing him. And I did not know this. The Washington Post is owned by Jeff Bezos.
Yeah,
you knew that?
Because I subscribe to the Post and the Times. And,
so sorry to hear.
Like,
that.
I know. Yeah, yeah. Well, the Post, like, anytime they mention anything about Amazon or they're just like, we have to say that we are owned by.
So, well, I mean, this article says what we already know, and it's happened here. So we have the lack of critics here in town. The Statesman, the theater of record for Austin, has stopped doing reviews.
That's
entirely.
Right.
And they're doing more features if they feel drawn to do it.
Right.
The Chronicle lost its permanent theater critic and are sending people on occasion.
Freelancing
yeah. folks. So it's and the argument that this article says is that other than other things, other media outlets, theater, it's really important for theater to have critics, because actually I want to read this, because this is actually a good point that I talked to this to other people about how they feel, whether there's value in critics. But first of all, let's take a temperature of the room. Do we think that critics, theater critics, are valuable?
Oh, absolutely.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay. Some people don't. Darren, you're silent. Is it because you're the sole person that doesn't think they value? Yeah.
How long do you have?
Yeah, 30 seconds.
Yeah. There are a lot of times when, I want to know like the ins and outs, but for me, like my tastes are more vulgar than yours are. I love coming onto this show and hearing all of your rundown of everything, but at the end of the day, I want to see something that appeals to me. Cirque du Soleil, I don't like. It's the best theater, but I go in there and I'm like, what did I just see? And
when I leave a Cirque du Soleil show, I say the same thing, but I'm also, my mouth is wide open, I'm gobsmacked. By yeah. Anyway, this article for American Theater was written by 6 to 7 minutes. No, it doesn't say who wrote it. Oh, no. Lily. Nope. It's not who wrote it. It doesn't say who wrote it. No byline. But they say, quote, the historical record will also suffer. Losing a theater critic, in my opinion, matters more than losing a film or book critic, because theater is ephemeral. My memories of shows I saw in D.C. as a kid have faded. The only thing that keeps them alive is the archives of reviews. Mm-hmm. Reviews means that theater art lives forever and can keep getting resolved. So that actually brings up a couple of things. I agree with that, and I believe in the ephemeralness of theater and how kind of important that is. So much so that when my theater produced Fun Home, I refused to videotape it for the archives. Mm-hmm. And now I wish I had, because it is gone. But I've always said that. I said, if you want to watch live theater, if you don't come, it's gone and you missed it.
Yeah, I mean, and even a video recording, it doesn't really capture the spirit.
Correct. Of what, and the video on Wednesday is not going to be the same as the video on Friday. So that's the other good thing, the ephemeralness of theater. So I kind of like that idea, is that that's what we, that's how we tie back to shows. I know when I look at the show that I did on Broadway, which I have to mention by contract, once a show here, I've got to mention it. But I get brought back when I go back and read the reviews, which were not good.
Right, right. But even a bad review, to me, even bad reviews are good, and like gives people just the inkling that stuff is out there, that things are happening. I'll go see a show that's had a bad review just because I want to form my own opinion.
Yeah,
that's true.
Agree. All right, I got time to talk about one last thing, and then maybe we'll get some more time after we do local stuff to pick up some of these other things. But who here has heard of Shucked?
I love it.
Do you know what I'm going to say?
I don't know what you're going to say.
Oh, okay. I thought you, hey, you had that sound like you're doing. It's launching a national tour.
Oh, yes. I'm so excited. Yeah.
It will be launching in Nashville, Tennessee, which makes a lot of sense.
It sure does.
Especially since the original title was Hee Haw the Musical.
Wait, was it really?
Was it really? Was that the working title?
I love that so much.
But amongst other cities that it is visiting, Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, in Austin.
Yay.
I am so excited.
Yeah. So that's great that it is coming here. They have not announced the cast yet.
Can I audition?
You may. I will allow that. But I am looking forward to seeing that. I should also say that when we started the show today, we played the requisite 12 Days of Christmas from She Loves Me. We have to play that every Christmas for Nicole. It's by contract. And there you go, Nicole. Hopefully you're listening. But let's leave with a little bit of Shucked.
Yes.
And this is the traveling song. We'll be right back.
In Tampa.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Trey.
Woo.
And Mindy.
Woo. An echo from across space and time.
I mentioned before we went on the air that I castigate my guests over the air because I'm engineer my own show. And Mindy's a programmer, or almost a programmer here, and she should know that she needs to speak into the microphone.
I know. I just don't expect to get called on. It's kind of like, I know that. Flashbacks of high school.
That is the joy of running this show. So let's talk to those folks at the Vortex and Circus Chicken Dog. We have been talking to them this whole time. I'm going to reintroduce Melissa McKnight. You are the director of this piece.
Yes.
And Darren Peterson, you are the founder, the everything behind this piece, or many things.
Right.
And Nicole Boyd. Hello. I don't know what you do.
Well, I play Trudy Ballerina.
Oh, well, who doesn't? Trudy Ballerina, is she a Southerner? Because you just put on a Southern accent.
Well, she started off Southern originally.
I should say that every year I rewrite the show in different ways. Oh. And Trudy's had a French accent, a Texas accent, many different accents over the years.
Sounds like a great drag name.
It is.
So we've had y'all on this show every year for a long time. But, you know, we get thousands of new listeners every year. So tell folks what the show is, Darren.
You mentioned earlier
that was actually a softball.
You like the anti-Christmas Christmas shows. And, you know, that was my original idea, was how can I get out of all of my familial Christmas duties?
Yes.
I created this show just so that I didn't have to do family Christmas stuff. And
a heartwarming tale.
I researched the Nutcracker Ballet, and like there's so many different versions that, like, putting dogs in and juggling is, you know, right in line with how all of those early stories were. And yeah, so I just wanted a circus version of the Nutcracker. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, when I came up with the word Muttcracker instead, it was like, you know, that is the hook to hang the entire show on.
Well, it just dawned on me that when we started this section, I did not mention that the title of this show is The Muttcracker.
Sweet! Can you tell it's an interactive play?
Exactly. Well, so now you have a lot of rescue animals. That's part and parcel of how this done. And you train them all. Did you train them before you came up with the Muttcracker?
Sweet.
So my first dog was the eponymous chicken dog. She was 4 months old when I got her, and you know, she'd been through 6 homes, and you know, she was just a genius dog and made me think I was a great dog trainer, and turns out I wasn't that good. She was just that good, but you know, with that success, I you know, buckled down and, you know, trained some future dogs, and yeah, they were all rescue dogs early on, and yeah, it was just a great way to learn more about training. You know, I had these dogs that were super fearful, and I thought I was a really positive trainer at the time, and I was, compared to most dog trainers. But man, these dogs, like, if you just kind of looked at them cross, they would shut down. And so, like, I cleaned everything up, and yeah, so now everybody's like, you know, really, really super happy.
Mm-hmm. So, Melissa, you have been directing this piece for a lot of years now.
Yeah.
Like 5, 6 maybe?
Yeah, it's a lot.
I'm just guessing.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
And you're also rewriting, obviously.
Every year.
So tell us, do we have some, clearly we've got some people and dogs that have come back. Or
that's
animals.
Right, right.
And you've got some new stuff. So tell us what's new.
Okay, so actually, a couple of the dog performers, Dragonfly and Firefly, they debuted last year, but now they're really hitting their stride.
Okay.
So
they're prima donnas now.
Oh, they are so good. I mean, I don't know if Darren really undersold the work that he does with these animals, but
he did,
and I don't know. I look at what these dogs do, and I'm just like, I couldn't get them to that level in a year. I couldn't get my dog to shake my hand in a year. I don't know how he does it. He has this technique where he's kind of training them into things that they want to do. He's just reinforcing the things that the dogs want to do. Anyway, my little prima dogarinas have taken over a couple of different sections, and so they're doing some of the tricks that some of the retired previous players mm-hmm. have been doing. We also have a new funny little infomercial section that I really love. There's a new song this year. Yeah, so it's just delightful. And, of course, the big trick finale at the end always is fresh and new and exciting.
Well, I will see it this year, I say.
I'll be keeping a
But now we
for
know
you.
In years past, and of course, we lost her, Marilyn McCaw.
Oh, Lauren McCall.
I just changed her name. That's my memory. Are there other animals other than dogs this year?
Nope. It's all dogs. Dogs and human performers. Okay. We've got a couple of aerialists / acro performers.
Lovely.
In the That's Barking good. Woods now.
In the Barking Woods. Oh, outside?
No, it's inside. Okay. But in the Barking Woods. We go to different places.
I know.
It's a journey.
I don't know how theater works. So, Nicole, tell us who you're playing. We talked about this earlier.
Oh, yes. I'm playing Trudy Ballerina.
Trudy Ballerina. Tell us about her and what you're doing in this show.
Trudy Ballerina is a wonderful doll. And
is a wonderful what?
She's a doll.
She's a doll.
She's
I
a
thought,
doll.
I thought
yes.
that's what you said.
I'm a ballerina doll.
Okay. And do you wear tutu?
Yes, I do. Lovely. I do. I have a lovely tutu. I got some leggings and some sneaker ballet shoes. Very cool.
Yep, as one does.
Yes. And I get to do a little bit of dancing and singing.
Do you have a dance background?
No. Not really, but amazing. You know, doing this is my third year of doing it, so I'm getting it down.
You're getting it down.
Nicole getting it in. Is an amazing singer. She sings in a reggae band, and she has a show-stopping number as a Trudy ballerina.
Yeah, like, we could have her sing a little a cappella.
If she wants to, I'd be all for it. You want to do that? Okay.
Well,
don't make me.
Don't make me.
Yeah, we'd love to. Tell us what you're going to sing.
It's... What is it? I Will Survive.
It's a little riff. It's a riff on I Will Survive.
It's a mix of I Will Survive.
All right. Well, this is Nicole Boyd singing a riff from I Will Survive. A riff.
Yes, a riff.
With it's the Vortex riff. And Chicken Circus Chicken Dogs, the Nutcracker.
Sweet! First I was a doll. I was petrified. I never thought that I would soon be leaving Clara's side. But then a puppy ate my arm and I woke up right here with you. And suddenly you're telling me you know just what to do. I guess I'll go, but I'm not sure. Deep down inside I try to make amends, but all she does is snore. You'd think she'd realize I'm walking out the door and I'll be gone. We won't be besties anymore. And right there is a little solo from a solo kazoo.
Solo. I love it. That is one of the few instruments I can play. Very good. I love that.
Thank you.
I oftentimes make up my own lyrics to songs about my dog, Foxtrot, who you might want to put in your show.
Yeah.
Although I can't train her to do anything. Other than eat. She's very good at eating.
Oh, all these dogs are great at eating. They win at eating.
My dogs are not trained. They just do whatever they want. And yeah, like Melissa said, like I just encourage them to do whatever they want. And that's the show. We make up a story around whatever the dogs want to do.
Is there a particular trick, old or new, that you're especially proud of this year?
Well, I like they're jumping. They're jumping really well, bouncing off of me. They do a couple of spinning tricks on the box, and they pretend to be drowning. You know, one of the dogs.
Oh my gosh, the cutest thing ever.
Drowning.
My dog loves to jump. I'll bring her to you.
All right. That's what I want.
Yeah. She can jump as high as my head, and she is such a tiny dog. She's
What's her name?
Her name is Dolly.
Dolly.
My family says she has ADHD.
Yes.
Well, you know, we at the Ground Floor Theater, we had Acro Cats back in, I think, 2018 or 2019. And those poor cats.
Yeah.
It's like herding cats.
Yes.
So it's actually that's my version of what I see but dogs are much more well behaved. How many dogs this year?
Four dogs in the show.
Four dogs.
Yes.
Varying in size from tiny to huge, or are they all tiny?
There's one super tiny one and they get up to about medium size.
Well, if there's four, I'm guessing you can name them all.
Dragonfly, Firefly.
Those are the stars.
Yes. Squirrel is the true star.
Squirrel.
And then there's Coyote. Yes.
Okay.
Coyote's the old man that, he's just rock solid. He always
does
his
trick. He's still enthusiastic. Oh, man.
Is Coyote handsome or ugly?
Oh.
They're all handsome.
Coyote ugly. I was going to Coyote. It was a stretch even for me.
I missed it.
It's a stretch even for me. So we obviously have music. Do we have live music as well? Is there musicians?
Yes. Vicky Schwartz is our pianist. Okay. And Tyler Mabry did the arrangements.
Lovely.
For the music.
You can't go wrong with Tyler. I don't know Vicky, but I want to. Oh,
she's amazing.
Great. And then y'all have already opened.
We have.
Yes.
How have houses been?
Awesome.
Are they enjoying themselves?
Oh, definitely. It's our little holiday tradition. Yeah. So.
And this is an all ages show.
It is.
Which
is
not typical for the Vortex.
That's true.
This is their service to the community.
Which is great. And that's something that we need to know. And you're doing early shows and late shows or later shows?
It's 4:30 and 6:30
p.m.
So. Yeah.
I think of this show for the Vortex as being like, people not into art, me, in the past, would just dismiss like Picasso, like any kid could do that. But then I saw what he did as an art student, and he was a real artist. Like he really had paintings that, you know, were realistic.
And if he exerts himself, he may get somewhere.
So this is like the vortex showing, yes, we can do that type of thing.
And, that's right. Theater for youth and adults. I mean, there's a lot of adult humor like sprinkled in there,
which I have always said, and listeners to this show will know that is the mark of a good kids show or good family show.
I agree.
Is something, and that's one of the things that it's one of my biggest pet peeves around a lot of the Disney shows. I won't name any names, but it rhymes with Schmuty and the Schmeest. And the Schmittle Lurmaid. But they're great for kids, but there's adults have nothing. Lion King is a wonderful show, mm-hmm. and Ken is enjoyable for everybody. Mm-hmm. So I think that is the mark of a good theater for family audiences, when everybody can enjoy themselves.
Yeah, and it's only an hour long, so it's also that attention span.
Can't go wrong with that. Now, there's other stuff going on at Vortex at the same time, is there not?
That's right.
Tell us what
Tammy
else is happening there.
Tammy Brown
is coming to town. Tammy Brown. That rhymes.
And is doing her holiday sparkle show on top of the Nutcracker set.
Tell us about that. What is that for people who don't, you know? I know who Tammy Brown is.
Yes,
but
so
other
Tammy Brown was
not.
On RuPaul's Drag Race and is a well loved persona, mm-hmm. and has been performing like all over the place, and has this wonderful holiday sparkles special that she has done. And in fact, I believe there's even a version of it on Amazon.
Oh, okay.
Surprise.
That's lovely. Is she I'm not familiar with her. Is she local or is she
no she's based out of LA, but uh-huh. Is originally from Texas, which is how this connection
lovely.
Was made.
I just googled her, so that's how I know she's from Texas.
Can confirm.
Well, if she's in Google, she's good. So how many performances is she doing?
Only two performances.
Ooh, two. And when are those performances?
The 22nd and the 23rd. It's the late night show. Ooh. On top of the
define late night show, because if the Nutcracker closes at 7:30 p.m.
It's a 9 o'clock show.
It's a 9 o'clock. That's actually perfect.
It's a 9 o'clock show.
I'll be asleep,
and it's only about an hour long. Yeah. So, you know, just these perfect little holiday bites. You know,
great. Yeah. Well, that's amazing. Where can folks go to get information about both of these shows?
Vortexrep.org.
Vortexrep.org. And as we mentioned, the Nutcracker is already open. And it plays through when?
The 30th.
Awesome. Well, I am so happy that y'all have come on here again. Nicole, welcome. I hope this isn't the last time you're here on Offstage and on the Air. And I'm making this promise now that I'm going to actually come and see the show this year.
All right. I'm going to be bugging you on the email.
I'll be there. I have no excuse. If I don't go, it just means I'm a terrible human being.
Oh, no.
which I might be. But thank you all again. You're welcome to stick around as we talk about the local stuff and everything. But folks can get information, as we said, at vortexrep.org. Thank you all for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, thank you, Lisa.
That was Melissa McKnight, Darren Peterson, and Nicole Boyd of the Vortex and Circus Chicken Dog, which is hard to say. the Nutcracker.
Sweet!
Play now through December 30th. You can get more information at vortexrep.org. And this is from the show Space Dogs.
Ooh.
And it's a brief history of dogs, which we all need. We'll be right back. We are back. You are listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa Sheps and
Trey Schunkweiler
and
Mindy Reed.
And you are listening to us on KOOP 91.7 FM in Austin, Texas. Also, if you're not in Austin, Texas, you could be listening to us at KOOP.org on the internet.
My mother is doing that right now.
Is she? Honey, what's your mom's name?
Her name is Nicole.
Nicole. Oh, didn't we just have another Nicole?
We
on?
Did.
Did you get confused, Nicole, when we were speaking to you on the radio?
She didn't know what the first play was called because she started late. And then when we talked about Les Mis, she sent me a throwing up emoji because I made her watch it once and she did not finish it.
Nicole, how dare you? How dare you? We love your son. You must know that. So locally, we've got some big, gigantic news. It was announced that Austin Playhouse is going to receive $4.5 million to complete the building that they had actually started working on before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And here's a picture
Wowza.
Of the theater that they're going to build. It's going to have two spaces in it, a 200 seat and a 99 seat, a 207 main seat mm-hmm. main stage and a 99 seat black box. And of course, all the other stuff that goes with it, rehearsal space, shop space, all that stuff. It is beautiful. You know, they had started a capital campaign prior to the pandemic. They bought a property out on 290 near Cameron Road, I want to say. And they were well on their way to making that dream a reality. And then the pandemic came and sort of halted on the brakes. So I'm very happy. And this is part of the $12 million bond package that the citizens voted back in 2000. No, I forgot when it was voted on. But that's good. And they are the third arts group to receive money. I know that the Rude Mex got some for a property they're doing. And then there was a music organization, I think, that's going to do it. But this is the largest award that's been given.
That's awesome.
And they're going to be... So they had already raised over $1 million prior. They're going to get this $4.5 million, and they still need to raise another $3 million.
Oof.
That's how expensive it is to do theater, folks. People don't understand.
Uh-huh.
But I am very, very, very happy for them. And really excited. I remember prior to the pandemic, they had announced and they made one of these little fly-throughs where, you know, it's an artist rendering, but it flies through the system.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks really cool. And they had a little outdoor space with seating and everything. And I think it's going to be just really lovely. And hopefully, you know, we never know what's actually going to happen. I kind of trust Austin Playhouse, but if those of us that have lived here for a while remember when the Long Center opened, the Rollins Theater in the Long Center was meant to be for the community, and it didn't really work out that way. It's still, you know, out of bounds for most community theaters to rent. And they have, you know, a handful of, and I'm using air quotes, resident theaters. Mm-hmm. That's their official name. And even they are paying a lot of money to go there. So that was that. Zach Theater, part of their charter, I believe, and I could be wrong, was that they had to open up spaces to the community. Yeah, and they really haven't done that all that much.
Yeah.
They were, when I came here 40 years ago,
40 years ago, did you come here when you were two?
Aren't you, darling?
I am. Thank you. Tell all your friends.
When I came here 40 years ago, that's what Zach Scott was known for, was giving opportunity. And then I guess they've morphed into something else and haven't really stuck to that. But luckily, we have places like Vortex and Ground Floor and other places.
And other,
High Park that are doing that.
But it would be nice that if these companies that had resources could share those resources, it'd be really, really great. And let's just see what happens with Austin Playhouse. I know all those people. I like all those people. So hopefully it will happen. It's going to be 7,000 square feet.
Ooh.
Nope, wrong. That's the Millennium Youth Complex. doesn't say how many square footages they're going to have here. But I'm really excited. I remember when that bond came, we were going to apply for it. The application process, I mean, just to get through that application process, and I know the Vortex applied, that was just, it scared me away.
Mm-hmm. I hate applying for things.
I mean, that's why a lot of these organizations have grant writers, because that's they're specialists and focused on doing that.
Yep. So that's the skinny with that. You can go to offstageonair.com and click on the link about Austin Playhouse, and you can see a copy of the rendering. You could also see it at their website, which I believe is austinplayhouse.com. .com! Like that. All right, let's talk about the other things that are happening here locally. Oh, wait, I had something. Oh, Jeff Sobel Food. I know I'm not pronouncing that correctly, but this is at Bass. I don't know if it's at, no, it's not at Bass. It's at one of the theaters on campus, and I'm going to come up with it. But this is called Food, and this is part of the the partnership with Fusebox, and this looks like really good. I'm just going to read this sucker to you. It says, why do we eat? Where does it come from? Do we need what we eat? Do we eat what we need? What does it really cost? This is an intimate dinner party performance of smell, taste, and touch. Food, and it's food, all caps, food. Food offers meditation on the ways and whys of eating. The audience gathers around a white linen covered dining table, engaging in each other and their empty plates in an immersive, constantly transforming performance. Sounds like a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It said somewhere, I know it said what theater, maybe it was on the website that I no longer have, but it's at one of the theaters. It's not at Bass. It's at one of the smaller theaters like the Brocket. I think it's the Brocket.
I couldn't tell you any of the names of those theaters.
It's the Brocket, the Bass, Biden Payne, and I think there's another one. Do you know? Did you go to UT, Mindy?
Yes and no.
I just didn't mean to put you on the spot. Let's talk about the other things they're playing. The theater season is winding down. Mm-hmm. There's not a whole bunch. We just saw the Muttcracker.
Sweet.
Thank you. Somebody did it. That's playing at the Vortex through the 30th. Penfold has your old-fashioned die-hard holiday radio broadcast. It's on December 22nd, which is in 2 days. There's two shows. It may very well not have tickets available, but you can get information at penfoldtheater.org. Murder on the Links is still playing over at Austin Playhouse. And, of course, Christmas Carol at Zach is through the 31st. And Pop, also at the Zach, through the 31st. Did I miss anything?
I don't think so. I haven't heard a lot.
Anything going on at Georgetown? I didn't come up on my thing.
They're doing Christmas Carol.
Yeah, of course. Bah, humbug. That's from Christmas Carol. Today in theater history. Y'all ready for that?
Yes.
Okay. We'll start with birthdays because it's a whole bunch of people. I know some of these. Sarah Inbrar. It's her birthday.
Nope.
Anybody?
Don't know her.
Irene Dunne, who I know of. She was born in 1898. I was very young back then. Allison Luff, Doug Wright, Gordon Stanley, and Joanna Jojo Levesque.
That name sounds very familiar.
I don't know, but anybody called Jojo Levesque. Come on. Opening on this date, 1981, Dreamgirls.
Ooh. Yes.
Which I've never seen live.
What?
I know. It's crazy. I was even in New York in 1981. Living there at the time. The revival of Fiddler on the Roof opened in 2015, which I did see, but you don't know how I felt about.
Was that the Yiddish one?
No, okay. that was like 2018. This was the one with Danny Burstein, and they changed the opening scene and the closing scene had this very strange. Danny Burstein started in contemporary times, and it fades into Anna Tefka, and then it fades back out. It just seems kind of weird.
Is that the one? Was Jessica Vosk in that one?
I'm just going to say maybe. I don't know. But this was also the one where they changed Matchmaker to not be a happy song.
Oh.
Because it's not.
Yeah.
In 1972, the Sunshine Boys opened. And finally, Comin' Uptown opened at the Winter Garden Theater in 1979. I had been in New York for 2 years at that point. So let's take a little break and let's listen to a little bit of Dreamgirls from the original cast. And we'll come right back.
Whoop.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air on Co-op Radio. And I just heard something that just shakes me to my very, very core. Very, very core. Right before we went back on the air. As everybody that listens to this show knows how fond I am of Fiddler on the Roof and how it was the very first Broadway show I ever saw. And this man sitting next to me, who I'm calling my co-host, what did you say right before we went on the air?
I said I'm not a huge fan of Fiddler.
I'm not a huge fan. Can you tell us why?
I think because the very first production I saw of it was a very bad high school version.
Oh, okay.
And so I think it's been ruined, and I need to see a good version before I say I like it.
When it's bad, it's very, very bad.
Yes.
It's bad, it's horrid.
You should have seen the Albuquerque Light Opera performance.
You should have seen the performance in 1969 with Herschel Bernardi.
I was like negative 30 then.
Negative 30. Well, I forgive you. It's not for everybody, but it is a pretty darn good show. Very quickly. Well, you know, we've just got a few more minutes, so let's just let's wrap up with this is
kind of our end of year Christmas thing. Do you have plans for Christmas, Mindy?
My plans are to be home with my husband and my Chiweenie and two cats, watching my favorite holiday movie that I watch every year, White Christmas.
Ooh. White Christmas. We usually play snow on this show, but we're not doing it this year. Snow! There is some, you see that on TikTok a lot. People singing snow.
Are you on TikTok?
I am. Oh, I'm addicted to TikTok.
Interesting.
Trey, what are your Christmas plans? What's your favorite Christmas song, Christmas movie?
I'm going to go home to my parents up in Gatesville.
To Westgate?
Yep, right up there. The favorite Gateway Christmas Texas? Movie?
To hang out with Nicole?
Yes.
Schunkweiler?
Yes, Schunkweiler.
Hi, Nicole.
And then the rest of our family. My brother is going to come down from Missouri with his wife.
Do you have a favorite movie?
I don't know. I love all the Christmas movies.
Okay.
I have a favorite movie, just not a Christmas movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I am, and this is where, thank God, Nicole is not here because she disagrees with me. I love It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh.
I like being manipulated by the master manipulator. who I just lost his name. Who directed that?
Oh, I can tell you.
Capra. Frank Capra. I got the Frank part. I just went missing from there. So I will ask our listeners to have a lovely Christmas. You can go and watch on Broadway HD. She Loves Me, to get a little Christmas feeling in a retail environment. But for the rest of you, we'll see you after Christmas is over and before New Year's. Trey, thank you so much for playing with us.
Thanks
again.
Thanks for having me back.
I hope you come back.
Maybe.
And Mindy, thank you. This is it for you, right?
Yes, but thank you so much for letting me hover.
You may hover anytime. Our door is always open. So we're going to walk away. We just had, and of course, my script is over way away from my microphone. I'm not going to talk about Antonio Banderas. I will be hosting International Folk Bazaar next week, and you will talk about Antonio Banderas. But what I had last year at the end of this show was Well Behaved Women, which is a bunch of Broadway singers singing songs about well-behaved women.
I listened to it, and it's good.
It's amazing. So let's go away with Lindy Mendez singing Yo Simplemente Soy about Frida Kahlo. We'll see y'all next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Bye, everybody.
I do not shy away from pain. I do not hide when all my demons come to light. I do not masquerade as something that I'm not. I would rather sit and rot than pretend I am all right.